Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
The secure video conference call on July 18th, I heard a staff person from the Office of Management and Budget say that there was a hold on security assistance to Ukraine, but could not say why.
That's acting U.S.-Ukraine Ambassador Bill Taylor laying out how the White House Chief of Staff's Mick Mulvaney, as he is accused of trying to stop U.S. funding for Ukraine. It is just one of many revelations today in the first of several planned public impeachment hearings of President Donald Trump. Now, tonight, we're looking at what it means for the country and you, the listener. My guests are Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy and Eva McKend, congressional correspondent with Spectrum News. Lines are open. I want to hear what you have to say. What you think about this, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Eva, thanks for joining me again.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Dr. Fauntroy, good to talk to you again.
It's always a pleasure.
Can you give me some brief notes on exactly what we observed today? Try to explain, if you can, why this is so important.
Well, it's so important because if the Democrats have their way, this is another step along the way of removing Donald Trump as president. Now, they are being somewhat coy about that, but it's clear that they have the votes to impeach. The only question is whether or not there are enough votes in the Senate to remove. At this point, there are not. So what today was really about, in my view, was helping to set the stage and produce an event that Americans could see, that small band of Americans, for example, that hasn't quite made up their mind about President Trump, but allowing them to see dignified, credible, legitimate people provide analysis and observations about what has been going on with regard to the Trump administration, Rudy Giuliani, and Ukraine. And today's hearing, I thought, was pretty good in that regard. It didn't have the histrionics and the circus-like atmosphere that played many of these public events. But I thought it was a tremendous opportunity for the people to get a chance to see what's really going on.
Speaking of what's really going on, briefly explain to me, why do we care about Ukraine?
Well, I want to parrot some of what Bill Taylor said. So, you know, Ukraine is critical because it's a former Soviet republic. I think it's fair to say that Vladimir Putin wants to rebuild the Soviet Union at some level. He sees Ukraine as a geopolitical tool in that regard, and if Russia is able to overrun Ukraine, then that compromises some ability for the United States to have more influence and protect its own interests in that part of the world.
Eva, paint a picture, if you will, about what we saw on the Hill today. You were there. Give me the, you know, the color of what was happening there.
Well, I think there was an understanding that it was historic, right? We've only been in this place where there's been an inquiry, an impeachment inquiry, a few times in history. So there were was a long line to get into the committee room. Many interested members of the public. But I don't think any real surprises emerged. I think that we knew going in that House Democrats were going to try to use these unimpeachable witnesses, these two career State Department officials, to try to make the case that President Trump violated his oath of office by pressuring the leader of Ukraine to help him win re-election, and that House Republicans were going to argue, because he didn't say that in so many words on the call, that it didn't happen. And so those sort of key points have not changed. I don't know that anyone who is a supporter of President Trump was swayed by the testimony today. But I will say that it is still remarkable that we've gotten to this point. And certainly being there, I think that observers felt the gravity of the moment.
Also on the line, we have Drew Elands, a political analyst. Hey, Drew.
Hey there.
Hey, let me place something for you, because of all of the things we did here today, there was, and I can't call it small, but there was a piece of new information that acting U.S. Ukraine Ambassador Bill Taylor shared, and this had to do with a phone call with the Ambassador Sondland. Let's play this, and then I want you to react to this.
Following that meeting, in the presence of my staff at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information.
Drew, he's talking about the U.S. Ambassador, Gordon Sondland. He's the U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, a central figure in all of that. What he shared is something that he said, Ambassador Taylor said, he only heard about last Friday, less than a week ago.
Yeah. You know, what it says is, more and more of those who are involved or who have had an opportunity to be a part of this process in their role are feeling more comfortable and confident speaking up. As things are starting to progress, more and more civil servants, and including some that were appointed by President Trump, are speaking out and are starting to tell what actually happened. So that's provided a certain comfort level of people to speak. So as soon as Ambassador Taylor informed the Congress, the Intel Committee, they're now going to speak with this particular staff member to get to the heart and the meat of what exactly he heard, so that we can then again have another firsthand account of a conversation where this president is actually confirming he didn't care about any corruption. He just wanted dirt. Mm-hmm. That's all he wanted, dirt on his political opponent.
We are talking about the first of several scheduled impeachment hearings relevant to President Donald J. Trump. And, of course, this being conducted today by the House Intelligence Committee, the chair, Adam Schiff, who, Eva, seemed to be fairly well controlled. That always seems to be his demeanor, even when some of the questioning became a little more muscular.
Yeah, and I thought that if you paid attention at all to any of the hearings as it related to Russian interference in the 2016 election, you'll see that this is always how he conducts himself. He's very smart. He's not an excitable person. He's not going to yell or shout. You know, he's just going to lay out the case. Mm-hmm. And let the chips fall where they may. So nothing too surprising coming out of Congressman Schiff. I do think that it was significant that at the end he reiterated again that he has not had contact with the whistleblower and he does not know who the whistleblower is, because that is something that is being repeated by House Republicans, and he's, you know, saying over and over again on the record that it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do remember that coming out. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the first public impeachment hearings for Donald J. Trump, of course, the President of the United States. If you have a comment or a question, I'd like to hear from you. Did you watch? Why or why not? Do you care? Why or why not? I definitely want to hear from you. Dr. Fauntroy, what about the Republicans? Their arguments today seem to lean far away from kind of the information that was being laid out by these two ambassadors. They obviously were more concerned about things that many of the ambassadors said they just did not know.
Yeah. So the Republicans are in a difficult position because they're trying to win a poker game with a couple twos in their hand. I mean, they don't really have a hand to play. The Democrats have the most significant cards, and that leaves the Republicans sort of flailing around trying to find something on which they can latch. But the reality is, there's not much there for them, so the only thing they can do is argue things like process and the Obama administration and a variety of other things that don't have anything to do with Ukraine. And so, you know, this whole business about whether or not they ever met with the president or had conversations with the president, with the inference being that because they didn't, they aren't really legitimate in what they have to say, is testament to that. And the evidence that they don't really have much of a plan is next week there will be people testifying who have in fact heard from the president or talked with the president about this. And the closest people to the president, Mick Mulvaney, John Bolton, among others, are not even being allowed to testify. So if it weren't really serious, then you let them testify and then move on. But they clearly feel like they can't do that because that's only going to implicate the president further.
Drew, you were about to make a comment.
How did you know?
I know you.
Well, I was just going to add on to what Dr. Fauntroy said is that, listen, one of the main key, if I just really put on my political hat and not just my Democrat hat, is there is no real team or messaging that the White House has put into place. So that is why the Republicans are really, every time they come up with one thing, then the president comes back and say another. The president really wants them to say that the call is okay, but they right now feel like they can't say that, right? They can't say that the call is okay, or they don't want to be on the record saying that the call is okay. They just want to say, hey, we gave money, we gave the money anyway, as if the attempt is not egregious. And until I think the biggest disappointment, too, is that the Republicans, who have always claimed to have that rites of passage to patriotism and to uphold the Constitution and all of these things that they say about who they are as a party and as a people, it's interesting to note that when it comes to someone that is there, they are acting as cowards and no longer upholding what it means for the Constitution. It is almost as if they don't understand and they're not telling their constituency that an inquiry, an impeachment inquiry, is not an impeachment. It is to find the facts. And if somebody who is accused, quote unquote, not willing to give out the information, allowing people to speak, et cetera, then there is something to be perceived as maybe they have something to hide. Maybe they don't want to play in this party because it's just not going to look well for them.
I will add that, you know, we had 6 hours of testimony, two witnesses, and I would say, though, that to the president and his circle's credit, they keep things simple for their base and for their supporters.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning, so 6 hours of testimony, not everyone is going to watch all of this, but they will see read the transcript, right? They'll see the shirts that say read the transcript, or this was a perfect call, right? He hasn't deviated from saying that. And so in order to keep sort of the base and the troops in line, they're trying to make this as simple as possible. And I don't know if Democrats have been able to have the luxury of doing the same thing, because this is a complicated issue. They don't have the benefit of just saying, read the transcript, you know. And so I would say that is one thing that is working, that the Trump administration repeatedly does. They just really distill things to a point to just make it simple for their base to digest the message that they want.
And the president does that very well. I mean, he is the messenger in chief, and, you know, with, you know, one or two syllable words, very short, choppy sentences, not hard to remember. And it's particularly when he has the advantage of, you know, the bully pulpit and repetitive sharing to, you know, to America. One, and you said, Drew, that they do. You believe that? I don't know about that. I really think that Eva's right.
I think the point is not that his message is simple. Is also that the people that he's really talking to will only go so far. One, they're not going to read the transcript.
By the way, the transcript hasn't actually been fully released.
Right. It isn't complete. Yeah.
The memo.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the lie is what they put out, which is a memo, is that it's a transcript. And he already knows that people aren't, the certain folk in that elk that believe in what he says, is not going to read it. They're just going to take his word that it was a good call.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I feel like this time, the Democrats have done a good job of saying, listen, no, it is extortion. It is quid pro quo. It is him asking for certain things. But they're also the way that this actually played out this time is not those 5 minutes back and forth throughout.
Yeah. It was 45 minutes today. Yeah, I thought that was unusual.
From one side, and from primarily a prosecutor on each side.
Drew, right? I've got to take a break, and I know I'm going to lose you. So thank you so much for sharing with us. But when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the impeachment, the first public hearings today. Did you watch? Do you care? Why? Why not? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. Keep trying to get through. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
I was just saying that it's easy for people to understand.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about the impeachment, the first public hearing today against Donald J. Trump, happening on Capitol Hill. Lots of moving parts today. And we want to hear from you. Did you watch? Do you care? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. By the way, our guests, our Harvard University political science professor, Dr. Michael Fauntroy. We have Eva McCann, congressional correspondent with Spectrum News, and political analyst Drew Elins. Will, calling from Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling. Will, did you watch?
And to your distinguished guest as well. Hey, Harold, I did watch it today, and I think these guys represented themselves well. And it was hard for these guys to look at these guys and say, hey, they're questionable, because they presented their case well and they stuck to it. And for some reason, every time the Republicans spoke, I thought I was watching Saturday Night Live. But on the other hand, I looked at it and I listened to some guys, and they keep alluding to Giuliani. And I, at this point, I think Giuliani, whatever his name is,
Giuliani,
he needs
yes.
to go get fitted for a jumpsuit.
Oh, my. Will, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You know, before the break, we were talking about, you know, the messaging, who was doing a better job. But I need a little clarification here, Dr. Fauntroy. Why is it that at least the Democrats say that what President Trump did was wrong and the Republicans aren't saying anything about what he did? What is so wrong with what President Trump is accused of doing where he said it was a perfect call?
Right. Well, the central concern here is, let's say the Ukrainians go and conduct an investigation, and really all the president wants is the press conference announcing that an investigation has happened. Because that then torpedoes Joe Biden's campaign. And he's expecting Biden to be the nominee as they're cooking up all of this. And then, let's say, Trump wins re-election in large part because of the storm around this investigation. So at that point, the Ukrainians say, well, listen, we did this for you, so now we need you to do this for us. In other words, getting engaged in this kind of back and forth with foreign nations compromises or potentially compromises American public policy, whether it's domestic or international, because favors are then established, and it makes it very difficult to conduct policy that's in the interest of the nation when instead you have to repay a debt to somebody else who's responsible for you being reelected.
But more specifically, isn't that part of diplomatic negotiations? What specifically was wrong with what President Trump asked about? He said, yeah, in the transcript, he says, I need you to do a favor, though, when talking to the newly elected president of Ukraine. What's wrong with asking the president of Ukraine to do him a favor?
Well, it's not doing me a favor. It's the favor that you're asking him to do.
Uh-huh.
There's a long history of the United States not calling on other countries to get involved in domestic politics. Again, because it helps to create an environment in which favors are required to be repaid. And the repayment of those favors could negatively impact American public policy. So, so as a consequence, asking for the favor in the context of my own political, my domestic political needs puts me in a difficult position if I'm the president. And so that's the bottom line here. Establishing this effectively extortionist relationship, you do this for me and I'll make sure you get this. Conversely, if you don't do this for me, I'll make sure you don't get this. In the context of congressionally appropriated money, is problematic in a variety of ways.
Lennox, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Lennox. What's on your mind?
I'm loving these hearings because it just shows how hard the GOP is scrambling. And I think that their whole purpose is not to try to this entire impeachment inquiry. They're not trying that in the House. They're going to lose that. They know they're going to lose it in the House. They know that they will win the impeachment inquiry in the Senate. However, they are trying it in the court of public opinion, and they keep hitting making it sound as if this is a very obvious, very easy, and they're breaking it down to very simplistic pieces, such that people who are not so nuanced and cannot understand the complexity of this will only look at it in the small pieces. And because they're looking at it in small pieces, they're going to say, oh, this really doesn't mean anything.
Hmm.
They're looking forward towards the election.
okay.
saying that they're just picking on him for no reason.
Lennox, thank you so much. Eva, what is the what thing or things surprised you today when you were about the process of reporting on today's hearing?
Oh, man, I don't know if much surprised me, to be honest.
You're just an old sage. Right?
You know, as I said before,
right.
As I said before, you know, the fact that we've got public hearings to potentially remove a president from office is major. You know, this is nothing any American should take lightly. But I guess I wasn't surprised by the fact that no member on either side was sort of moved by the testimony that they heard. You know, people, the battle lines were drawn at the beginning and no one has flinched. And so I would say little has surprised me as yet, but we still have more public hearings to come. You know, we don't know what former Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch is going to say on Friday. Maybe there will be some bombshells there that will make people, you know, switch sides. Mm-hmm. But that has not emerged as yet.
You know, Drew, one of the things that did surprise me is that over the past several weeks, we have seen, even though we weren't seeing the hearings, after the hearings, we have seen the character of the various and sundry witnesses attacked. That mm-hmm. didn't happen today. From the Republicans did not attack either of these ambassadors, and I really expected them to attack, you know, their character, calling them, you know, never Trumpers, calling mm-hmm. them the deep state, and yes, there were some emotional arguments and some challenges, but not to the character of either one of these ambassadors. Why do you suppose that is?
Because what they did before did not work. It didn't work for several reasons. One, while we are all in the DMV and we are exposed to this on a regular basis, people every day around the country aren't. So they don't even know who these people are. And so as they were trying to level these attacks against them, then it just really fell flat because there was no perspective other than the people who are not willing to listen or gain any extra information. They're going to just know that whoever is going to go against Trump are going to be never Trumpers. That's just pretty much where it is. There's nobody, you know, they already know that there's not going to draw a line. So it really didn't work. And now that it's on, now it's a public hearing, which is what they say they wanted. Other people are actually listening around the country. It was on all the networks. So people around the country are listening. So you have people who are independents. You got people who are in the middle. You got people who are left of center, right of center, who are actually tuning in. And while to us there's nothing new, it's a whole lot of people. They're hearing a lot of this for the first time because local news is not really talking about this at this level. And they don't really, that's not really anything they were paying attention to until now. You're taking off my shows. Let me see what's going on, because now we're really talking about impeaching the president.
So what you're saying is you're forced to watch, like we were forced to watch the Watergate hearings back in the 1970s. I was a kid.
I was an infant, so
yeah,
I
was a kid, but my after school cartoons weren't on. You know, instead,
right.
You know, I was watching, you know, Haldeman and Ehrlichman and other you know, members of you know, of the House, and of course indeed the Senate. I was forced to watch this, but this is a different time.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, like, you didn't really see House Republicans go after these witnesses. I think that they understood that they were walking a tightrope here. I mean, these are career State Department officials. They even went through great pains in their opening testimony and throughout to say that they are nonpartisan and that they have no investment in this coming out one way or the other. So being that these people people are career diplomats. They have this background. I think House Republicans knew they can defend the president as fiercely as they want, but they cannot go after the character. It won't be, it won't look good for them if they go after the character of these witnesses.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't go after the characters publicly in their face at this hearing because more people are listening. They were already talking about putting things out a little bit about Taylor, a little bit about Kent, a little bit about Vundlin, a little bit about everybody else prior to. So when they were on Fox News, they're talking about them. But when they got on...
Drew, did we lose you? Drew?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, go. You said when you got... Go ahead.
I was just going to say once they got into the... Once they got into the national state, the public hearing, and face-to-face, they weren't going to do it because more people are listening now. Mm. When they were just in their echo chamber or Fox News, they were trying to disparage Taylor, Kent, Vundlin, all of these people. So I think now that it is public, they already know. People don't know these folks.
Well, and,
so,
and
they've already done their part.
And let's be clear, you know, Dr. Fauntroy, you can look... You can take a look at Ambassador Bill Taylor. The guy has been in public service for some 40 years. You know, West Point, Vietnam. The guy was jumping on the planes in Vietnam, and he has a long and distinguished career working for five presidents since Ronald Reagan. It's really kind of hard to impugn the character of somebody like that.
Well, there's no question it's hard to impugn the integrity of and credibility of somebody like that. But there have been a lot of really credible people that have spoken up over the course of the last couple of years. I'm thinking about somebody like Robert Mueller, who was, in fact, attacked by the president and the president's allies. I think the difference here is you can't really attack Taylor or Kent when there's so much documentation around that validates their testimony. And you still have a number of people who are in the line to come testify who are going to be essentially saying the same thing. And so I think the Republicans, as I think Eva mentioned earlier, are in a really tight spot because, again, they're out there trying to defend a really weak hand, and so they have to do things like talk about process and Obama and a variety of other things that don't have anything to do directly with the issue at hand.
Now, that's to a point that was mentioned earlier, Dr. Fauntroy. Yes, all of the networks preempted their regular programming to cover these hearings today. So, yes, you can say if you were watching a television for 6 hours today, there really wasn't a way for you to avoid this unless, you know, you were, you know, watching Law and Order on USA or something like that in the middle of the day. But for those who were forced to watch this on network, it's one thing to watch it. It's another thing to care.
Yeah. So you mentioned Watergate earlier.
Yeah.
And I was a kid, too, mad that my cartoons weren't available to me when I got home from school.
So mad about
because of
that.
These Watergate hearings. But here's the big difference, though, Harold. There's so much other access to video and media. You know, so you can tune this stuff out if you want. You know, if I didn't have to watch this all day today, because I've been doing radio all over the country and in Canada, I might have been watching a game on NBA TV, you know, because I know where this is going. But at the same time, this is a really big story that can't be avoided as easily as it is with other people and so it, with other kinds of circumstances. So, you know, it is the kind of thing that will grow on people over time because I do think there's a bit of fatigue in the country about investigations. I think it was a masterstroke coming out with Taylor and Kent today because they have so much credibility that they can't really be politicized, as you saw with Mueller and all of the people involved in that investigation.
You know, one other thing, Drew, different from Nixon and different from Clinton. Nixon resigned before the process was completed. Clinton was impeached not because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky, but because he lied about it. This is different, Drew. Talk to me about the optics and the differences here.
Well,
it's different because we are, what he has essentially done is invited a foreign government to participate in our elections. Now, granted, that's what the Mueller report and the investigation was about before, but I think for most people, it was about 2016, and it was about the past, and people were fatigued and over it, right? Like, he's the president, let's just move on. But this is now talking about something where you're going to impact our election cycle for 2020 to come ahead. And at this point, there is like, he is the president and he is using power because he is now abusing his power to get something for what that will only benefit him in an election. Not benefit the country, not benefit anything else but himself. And the reason why everybody's so lackadaisical about it is because those who support him is because they know that's who he is. And so now we have to be able to re-educate the citizens about what this actually means. And if the tables were turned, is this something that we actually want to give a pass to? So the difference is you're inviting another foreign power into our process. And that's just not okay. That's Drew, what is the difference.
Drew, I know
that's the difference. So he's abusing power. He's obstructing Congress because he's not giving, you know, not allowed for oversight. And also, he's inviting someone else to be a part of our election.
Drew, I know we have to let you go this time. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We really appreciate your insight and your expertise. Eva, talk to me a little bit about the process, because as I said before, President Clinton was impeached by the House, but he was acquitted in the Senate.
That's right. And it looks like history is going to repeat itself. It looks like the House will vote to impeach and that the Senate will acquit in this case, barring anything major over the next couple of weeks. But House Democrats changed course. You know, Speaker Pelosi forever, she was saying that she didn't even want to talk about impeachment a few months ago. She was asked at news conferences by us and she didn't want anything to do with it. But then she saw the more moderate wing of her party step forward and said that they were open to an inquiry. And she changed course. And she said that ultimately that this was just a step too far, that if the House doesn't move in this direction, that they are basically greenlighting abuse of power, and that this sets a bad precedent, for this type of behavior. But in terms of process, you know, House Republicans have argued that it's not fair, but. You know, I think about the Benghazi hearings in the past. A lot of it looked very similar, where if you're in the majority, you have a lot of power when it comes to oversight. And so, if you're not in the majority, you can't really complain.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're sort of headed for a similar outcome.
May I just add quickly,
yeah, go ahead.
Carol? You know, I think Eva's on to something here with the sort of what happens when the other party is in control. So Devin Nunes today, in my view, acted as if people don't have much of a memory. He's talking about a variety of things that he accused the Democrats of doing that he did on Benghazi and Fast and Furious, and that the other Republican chairman did. And so this is an example of why elections have consequences, right? Mm-hmm. If we didn't have the outcome in 2018 that we did, there would be no hearings today. There'd be no impeachment inquiry because the Republicans would have acted as if it didn't happen. So I do believe that while I am still very dubious as to whether or not 67 votes will materialize in the Senate, you know, I also believe that the Democrats didn't really have a choice at this point, because if you do nothing about what is alleged to have happened with regard to Ukraine, then you really do open the door for a variety of other examples of similar attempts to extort foreign countries to do things for you, as any president could theoretically do, and do so without impunity.
That's right. Like they're saying, let the record reflect, you know, we were on the right side of history, no matter how this turns out, I think is ultimately their message.
Let me go to Jesse calling from New Orleans. Jesse, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Harold and Gus, my question was a little bit basically what one of your guests stated. Given that President Trump is going into his last year, even though I believe the Democrats are correct in their actions, is the juice really worth the squeeze? Is this hill really worth dying on as far as, like, trying to get him out of office, given that, you know, when the election comes back around, it may backfire on the Democrats?
You make a really good point. That's an excellent point. And, you know, really, time will tell. I think the American electorate can be very unpredictable. We never thought that we'd be here. We never thought President Trump would get elected in the first place. And so I think you're asking, does the end sort of justify the means? And I think that there's not really an answer to that. We will see, I think, is all I can say. What do you think?
Well, I was going to ask Jesse specifically. Jesse, why do you care about this?
Well,
or do you? Maybe that's the question. Do you care?
Well, I really do care. I'm a little fatigued from hearing the bickering on both sides, really, the Democrats and the Republicans. But I believe we as a country, we have lost our position as a leader due to who's in the White House currently. And I'm just ready to kind of get back on the path as far as trying to get back in the right direction.
Interesting. And thank you, Jesse, for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Yes, to what you just spoke to, Eva, I do believe that we are looking at a moral compass that is in some kind of horror film where it just spins and spins and spins, and it doesn't point, you know, due north. You know, the political winds, whichever way they are blowing, you know, as it relates to who is in power. You talked about, Congressman Devin Nunes and Fast and Furious and the Benghazi hearings. If it were a Republican, let's talk about Benghazi. If it were not a Hillary Clinton Democrat, but instead were a Republican, then they would have at the very worst soft pedaled it. And I think that that unlike what we saw during Watergate, because the crimes by President Nixon were so egregious and we had just never seen anything like that before, and despite the partisan feeling in the country at the time, and Dr. Fontra, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but there were people who were switching sides by the end of it, because the fatigue during Watergate was not with, just the investigation. The fatigue was with the apparent lack of morality of President Nixon.
Well, to the caller's question, I do think it's worth the squeeze, because again, I think not investigating this thoroughly and not exposing it to the country would set a terrible precedent, and one that I think would come back to haunt the country at some point down the line.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, there'll be another president sometime down the line who might be even more willing to engage in this kind of behavior. And so then what if it's China that you go to for assistance, or Russia, or heaven forbid, North Korea? You know, I mean, where does it stop at some point? And so I think you got to do that. And I think there's one other reason. You know, if we're talking about President Obama, the Republicans would not be taking the position that they're taking. And I think it's important for the country to see, for lack of a better word, the hypocrisy of it all. That it can't be possible in our democracy that it's acceptable for a president to engage in this kind of behavior. So I think the juice is worth the squeezing. It may not actually result in removal, but that's what elections are also for. And so I think that if the Senate doesn't remove, if there is a large enough mountain of information then I think it would be difficult for the voters to turn their back on it.
But I think the other argument to that is, yes, in the first few months of the Trump administration, there was a lot of clutching of the pearls, the Australia call, and everything else. And now, as you know, as I believe one of the callers said, well, you know, this is, to paraphrase, this is Trump being Trump. We are now used to this. We're no longer clutching our pearls, and it appears that nobody cares that he may be, obtuse and, short in his descriptions of people, of being unkind and undiplomatic. And have we gotten to a point where we are just so used to it that the American people don't care, or are they waiting until next November?
I think there are people who clearly want to normalize this kind of behavior, but I do not believe those people are in the majority. And I think that there, I heard former Senator Jeff Flake say recently that if they had a secret ballot in the Senate for removal, there'd be 30 Republicans to support it. There are Republicans on the Hill right now that cannot stand President Trump. But because of his facility with social media and the climate that we are now in, they are afraid to speak out, even though they know he's engaged in potentially criminal behavior.
Yeah, I think we've entered a whole new era, right? A New York judge ordered President Trump to pay $2 million to settle a lawsuit alleging he misused his charitable foundation just this month, and we barely even talked about it.
And certainly that kind of thing in another time would probably be considered impeachable. We've got a couple of weeks ahead and more prizes. We don't know if they're going to be surprises, political prizes, but no political surprises. What's coming up, Eva? Who are we going to hear from this week?
Yeah, so Friday we will hear from former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, who says basically she was the victim of a smear campaign led in part by the president's personal attorney. I believe he's still the personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani,
right,
for the
now,
president,
yeah.
Tied to a whole bunch of conspiracy theories, and that she was particularly alarmed that things were not operating. Things were operating basically through irregular channels, and a lot of the whispers ultimately led to her removal. I think she might be a difficult witness because she was ousted from this position. Republicans might argue, well, she has a bone to pick with the administration. But like Taylor and Kent, she also is a career diplomat that worked for different administrations, both Republican and Democrat. So we'll see how effective Friday is.
Yes, I guess we're going to have to check the ratings for these hearings as well. There we go. Eva McKend, Drew Eland, and, of course, Dr. Michael Fauntroy. Thank you so much for sharing with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
My pleasure.
There we go. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Wednesday, October 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.